I started playing the violin when I was six, and I didn't want to play the violin, but my mom wanted me to play the violin. I wanted to play the piano. But I was six, so what my mom wanted kind of trumped what I wanted. So she got me started with violin lessons very early, and I think the teacher saw that maybe I had a talent from that young age, so she encouraged me to pursue it, and eventually it became my dream as well. And obviously now it very much is my dream. And my first performance was actually about 6 months after I first started playing the violin. It was a very simple piece, but it was in Bulgaria's biggest hall for about 5,000 people. So I got started early.
Quite an audience, I would say. And then you ended up going to the Mozarteum in Salzburg?
Yes, and that was so memorable for me because apart from a trip to Russia when I was three, which I don't really remember, that was the first time out of Bulgaria for me. And I was there for 2 weeks for master classes with Ruggero Ricci. And I went in playing the Prokofiev Second Violin Concerto, which is a piece that maybe most 12-year-olds don't play because it's played later in your studies. That's just kind of how it's done. You play Brahms and Mendelssohn and things like that. But I really wanted to play the Prokofiev Second Concerto. And Ricci sort of asked me, well, have you played Mendelssohn? And I was like, no. Well, have you played Brahms? And I said, no, I want to play this one. So he was very nice to me, and he worked with me a lot, both on my technique, like my right-hand position, and also in the music, and he worked on the concerto with me, but he sort of said, you know, you should maybe do things in order. But that's never been my strong suit, doing things in order, so.
How did you end up then at the Curtis Institute?
So at the age of 13, I moved to the States. I was kind of an exchange student in Michigan, and I met Ida Kavafian while I was there. She was giving master classes at the university, and I met her, and I played for her, and she teaches at Curtis. So I immediately knew that I just had to study with her. And I applied for Curtis in my junior year of high school, and the thought was that if I didn't get in, I still had one more year to apply. But I did get in, so I ended up taking a GED and going straight to Curtis when I was 17.
And not only did you study violin there, but you also studied chamber music as well.
Yes, I studied chamber music with Steve Tenenbaum, and that was really a huge learning experience for me. Really learning to play with others, that's something that has aided me not only in my chamber music playing, but also as a soloist. You know, you need to know how to play with others, whether it's an orchestra or if you're playing a recital with piano. And it's just useful to be aware of what's happening around you.
And how then did you end up going to the Indiana University?
Yeah, so while I was at Curtis, Jamie Laredo was also teaching there. And I played for him a little bit, but I was never his official student at Curtis. But I really wanted to study with him after Curtis. But by that time, he had left Curtis and he was at Indiana University. So to me, it was kind of a no-brainer that after Curtis, I would apply to Indiana and work with Jamie there. And those two decisions, going to Curtis and going to Indiana to work with those mentors of mine, have really been wonderful decisions. And I've grown so much just by working with them and by knowing them, and they're my heroes.
Now, last year, you received a very wonderful career grant. Tell us about that.
Thank you. Yes, last year I received the Avery Fisher Career Grant, and it's just such an honor to be among the few people that receive those grants. I was phoned in January with the news that I had received the grant, and I had to keep it secret until about May, when was the official announcement, and that was very difficult. And of course, I could tell a few very close people and kind of tell them that they couldn't tell anyone. But it was just an enormous honor because you don't apply for those grants. You have to be nominated by many people and then selected by another panel. I was so grateful and so happy to be among the people that have won it, including Ida Kavafian, my teacher, and I was just very honored to be a part of it, that organization.
Not only are you an amazing violinist, but you can keep a secret. That's really good.
I am good at keeping a secret.
Tell us about this violin that you have and how you came upon it.
I play on a Niccolo Amati violin made in the year 1655, and it's been on loan to me by a very generous individual for some years now. And again, I'm so grateful to be able to use it.
Tell us about this last year. You have just done some amazing performances all across the globe, and you've had a couple of world premieres. Just give us a nutshell about some of the things that you have been working on.
Well, this year I'll be doing actually two world premieres. One is by the American composer David Ludwig. It's a short concert piece called Saturn Bells, and I'm doing that with the Mobile Youth Orchestra. And the other premiere is in New Zealand, a violin concerto by New Zealand composer Anthony Ritchie, and that's with the Southern Symphonia in Dunedin. It's so exciting to be a part of a world premiere. It's really your voice that's coming through with the composer's voice, and there's no preconceived expectations about how the piece should go. So you really have the freedom of making an artistic statement. So I'm very much looking forward to it. It's one of my goals as a performer to work with living composers and to be able to commission pieces and create more pieces for the violin in the violin repertoire. So I'm very glad to be doing these two works this year.
And in addition to these world premieres, you also will be playing or have played at the Lincoln Center with the musicians of Marlborough and also at Carnegie Hall.
Yes, the Carnegie Hall concert was definitely one of the highlights of my whole career. I played the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto there. I finally learned it, but not when I was 12. I played the Mendelssohn Concerto at Carnegie Hall with one of my mentors conducting, Jamie Laredo. And that was just a really, really memorable and special concert. And there was so much buildup to it, and then it went by so fast. But I'll always remember that concert.
I just heard your Bella Unaccompanied disc. It's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you so much. It was recorded after I created that as a recital program called Bella Unaccompanied. And I really wanted to create a recital program centering around a masterwork for solo violin. And in this case, that's the chaconne. So the whole Bach D minor partita is in the second half of the program. And I wanted to complement it with more contemporary works. So in the first half of it, I wanted to program complementing works by more contemporary composers. So I have John Corigliano's Red Violin Caprices. Then I have a piece by a young American composer, Kevin Putz. Then I have the three Piazzolla tangos. And finishing the first half is Milstein's Paganiniana Variations. And then if I'm performing the program, then there's intermission, and then I play the whole Bach D minor partita. And to me, in Bach's music, you know, every time I practice the chaconne, I think if I had to pick, you know, my desert island piece, if I had to pick one piece to practice for the rest of my life, it probably would be the chaconne, because I feel like it has every human emotion in it. So I kind of wanted to create a mix of music to complement that in the first half. So I thought that's, you know, between the Corigliano and the Putz, and then variations inspired by Paganini and then Piazzolla. So I'm very, very pleased with how that recording came out, and I'm very happy to have it.
You've won several competitions like the Michael Hill International Violin Competition and also the first prize in the Young Concert Artists International. Tell us a bit about those and how they have affected your career.
Yeah, well, Young Concert Artists is actually my management, and they choose people on their roster through an audition every year, and it's an international audition. So when you win first prize, that means that you're taken on their roster as a soloist. And they have been so helpful to my career, both with concert bookings and presenting me in debut recitals in New York and Washington. So that's been wonderful. And before that, I won the Michael Hill International Violin Competition in New Zealand, and that resulted in my first CD, which is on Naxos, and that's the solo music of Charles de Berrio for violin, and also in a very large concert tour of New Zealand. I went back the following year, and for about a month, I toured New Zealand playing a lot of recitals and a few concertos with orchestra. And I really think of that as the beginning of my performance career. It was such a great experience, and the pianist that I was playing with was amazing. He's a New Zealander, Michael Houston, and we would wake up every day, you know, have our coffee. I had mine with milk, he had without, and we would drive to the next city and rehearse and play and then go to sleep and then do the same thing the next day. And at the end of the tour, I had something like 18 concerts in 1 month. You know, I was very tired, but I was ready to do it all over again. So that kind of really showed me that maybe I can have this life, this crazy life that's so much traveling and so exhausting, but I loved it.
In addition to being like performing in the Marlborough Music Festival and at the Grand Teton Festival and Lincoln Center and all these wild and crazy places that are so wonderful. You also have appeared several times on Keeler's Prairie Home Companion.
That's right. I first played on a Prairie Home Companion when I was 15, and it was a live broadcast from Tanglewood. And then I was invited back twice more since then. And Garrison was all the times that he was so nice to me. But, you know, he's very tall and very intimidating, but actually very kind. So I was very nervous every time to talk to him. But he always made light of the situation, teased me. And
and what did you play on A Prairie Home Companion?
A few different short pieces. The first time, actually, I played, it was kind of a country piece, but it's written for violin. It's all notated by Paul Schoenfield. It's called Who Let the Cat Out Last Night? And that was a fun piece to play. And then I played Debussy's Bossoir with it. I think another time I did the Kreisler Red Steven Scherzo, maybe one of the Piazzolla tangos. So short pieces like that, very varied. Actually, the third time I played, it was from Ocean Grove, New Jersey, and I got to meet Bruce Springsteen afterwards because he was in the audience. So that was kind of exciting, too.
So Garrison didn't put you into one of his little skits or anything like that?
I begged him to put me in the skit. And, you know, the first year I was on it, the Juilliard Quartet was also featured guests, and they got to do the skit. So, no, I haven't been in a skit yet.
Well, you're just going to have to insist that you be part of
it. I'm just going to have to go back, aren't I?
Well, with the Des Moines Symphony, you are going to be performing one of the world's best violin concertos.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit of history about this piece and then your take on it.
Well, Beethoven's my absolutely favorite composer, even though Bach is my desert island piece. I always feel like the question should be, who's your favorite composer besides Bach? Because it's so hard to choose just one. But Beethoven is my favorite composer, and his violin concerto is definitely one of my favorite pieces to play. It's such an enlightened piece. It's like coming up from the clouds. I'm very excited to be here in Des Moines and to be playing it with the symphony.
When did you first learn Beethoven's violin concerto or start working on it?
I first started working on the Beethoven concerto while I was at Curtis. I think it was my second or third year there. And I first played it in Curtis Hall with piano. And actually, until now, I always played the cadenza that was written by Beethoven. So Beethoven didn't write a violin version of the cadenza, but he transcribed this violin concerto for piano. And he wrote a cadenza for that version, which uses timpani. And I played that cadenza many, many times. But this time with the Des Moines Symphony, for the first time, I'm playing the Kreisler cadenza, which is actually much more common, I think, and it's beautiful. It's very beautiful, but I'm excited to be playing that for the first time here.
It's an unusual concerto in the fact that it opens with these quiet timpani strokes.
Yes, it's almost like people strain to think, oh, did it really start? But the opening tutti is quite long. It's about 3.5 minutes maybe. And I always want to play along. It's such a happy opening. And I just want to play along. I know I can't, but... And then the violin comes in and it just soars around the orchestra and weaves in and out of the orchestra for the whole first movement. And then the second movement, it has one of the most beautiful melodies ever. And the third movement is a lot of fun too. So,
tell us a little bit about the themes and then how the violin is used with the orchestra.
Actually, the violin, in my opinion, has a lot of accompanimental figures in the first movement. I mean, it's playing a lot of arpeggios and scales around the melodies in the orchestra, which is kind of very interesting. And sometimes you have the melody, but it's surrounded by two other notes at a time. So you have to bring out the melody every other note. But at the very end of the first movement, after the cadenza is finished, the violin gets to play the full theme. And that's very rewarding to play. And then in the second movement, again, the violin starts by embellishing the melody that the orchestra is playing. And then in about the middle, the violin gets to play the melody. And then in the third movement, the violin starts. So it's very interesting. It's a lot of scales and arpeggios, but they're so hard to play.
So do you get home very much, or is the United States basically your home now?
Oh, the United States is my home. I'm based in Philadelphia. Even when I'm very busy, I manage to go home for at least 1 or 2 days every week or so. So it actually works out well being based in Philadelphia.
Well, I would think just having all these gorgeous gowns and stuff. I mean, how do you pack for this sort of thing?
With difficulty, because I try to travel with a small suitcase if I'm not gone for more than a week. So it has to be something that travels well, and it has to be something that doesn't take up a lot of space. So that's always difficult. Whenever I find a dress that I really like and that fits all the criteria, I buy it. Because if you're looking for a dress, chances are you're not going to find what you're looking for.
And what are the criteria?
Well, it has to be comfortable. You know, playing the violin in concert is really like being an athlete. And most people don't realize that. Like dress salespeople, they'll be like, oh, well, why can't you have something that you have to tape to your body and then it's loose over there? And it's like, well, I just can't. I can't be worrying about my dress falling off. So it has to be comfortable around the neck, and I can't have any beading on the side of my violin. Really nothing that can scratch the violin. I do play in a lot of strapless dresses. But recently I've been playing in a dress called Butter by Nadia. They're really unique dresses. They're one size fits all, which is kind of amazing. It's a big wrap dress. And it does wrinkle a little bit when you travel, but as soon as you hang it, because the fabric is so heavy, it just comes out. And I think they look really nice from the audience too. And I have them in many colors.